Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
You're giving me a target.
Do you want him fired? This is my question. Do you want him fired?
I do. I want Kevin Stefanski in here.
I can't.
Well, good. I didn't ask for your opinion.
This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, January 13, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Man, we got a lot to get to as we sit here and record prior to the big Monday night final wild card game of the weekend, the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Houston Texans. We don't know the exact schedule of games coming out this coming weekend, and that's a problem, if you ask me. And here's why. I have said for years now, I know you've listened, that this league is less a league than it is a television show about quarterbacks. Said this about 15 years ago. It's only even more true today. And I do love this entertainment product. It is an absolute bingeable monster, the NFL. 5 stars. The episodes this past weekend, mwah, loved them. Hope we get 4 more after tonight's game. That said, the fact we don't even know the times of the games that will take place in 6 days, and by the time the game is done tonight, in which they'll finally release the schedule, it'll be 5.5 days, is absurd and ought to remind everybody about the fuckery that is all about when it comes to the NFL. Think of it. It's Monday. You're at work. Your kids are at school. You want to start planning for, your life this weekend while also enjoying maybe your football team's big game with your family and friends, and you've got plans. But, you know, there's life to be navigated around. How is it that the NFL's like, nah, we'll tell you the times later? We know the days that the teams will play, but we don't know the times. I mean, that 3.5 hours of difference could make all the difference in you being able to get together with your family or not. But hey, they don't care about you. And so with the NFL not committing to the schedule, you might wonder, wait a minute, why? Well, let's think. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback, one of the most iconic characters in this long-running series known as the NFL.
Where is A.A.Ron right now?
Where is A.A.Ron? Could be his final game or games. And so therefore, it'd be easy enough because they know the winner of tonight's game is going to be slotted right into New England. They know that. So why not just set the schedule? You know where this game is going. Just put it on the schedule. But oh, in the TV show about quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers against the Patriots and young Drake May. Ooh, the TV show about quarterbacks going to be sizzling then. What if it's the Texans? You know, CJ Stroud, eh. The Texans basically give the networks the ick, and the NFL wants to wait. Because if it is Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the three iconic brands in the NFL, it is the Packers, the Steelers, and the Cowboys, not necessarily in that order, so don't at me. Then yes, they would like to know that before they start to divvy out, okay, CBS, you get this, NBC, you get that, AB, you know, whatever the doling out of the network assignments are. And from a 30,000-foot view, there's nothing wrong with this. You're just trying to get the best for the fans, right? But here's the problem. If you have a preference, which the league clearly does, because they want to wait, right? If they didn't have a preference, they wouldn't wait, is my point. So you could cement that in there. So the NFL is a preference. The networks certainly have a preference, which means we've got a problem. Preferences lead to desires. Desires tempt influencing outcomes. And is there any way the NFL could possibly tip the odds in their desired direction? Well, shucks, that expedited review thing sure looks like a skeleton key that can undo, redo, or change big calls on the field. That's pretty handy. What if the referees had earpieces where they could communicate to each other and they could hear from upstairs at the stadium who can also talk to New York City and the CENTCOM review center for the NFL itself? Wouldn't that be convenient? Well, they can, and they do. And I know you're saying, but hey, they just want to get the calls right. Sure. And the scheduling delay is to just give the fans the best viewing experience. Sure. I'm telling you, your side-eyed suspicion of this league is not unfounded. It is proper. And any honest league would just set the damn schedule right now. But they're not. Again, it's the TV show about quarterbacks. Ding! Trademark. Not so much a league. Don't make me tap the sign. Now, I just read that from my tweet earlier today. I made a long tweet. And of course, there is a handful of accounts, usually with 2, 3, 1 followers, that decided to be that guy today. One guy tweeted, nice blog post, blocked. Another guy said, JFC, you wrote all that, blocked. Another guy wrote, okay, blocked. I often come across people's long, essentially blog post, Twitter posts, and if it's of interest to me, and if the writing is good, oh, I read it. And if I don't like it or am not interested, I fucking keep scrolling. Who are these people that insist on nice blog post or JFC, you wrote all that? I don't get it. I'm not thin-skinned. Well, you did block them. Well, I blocked them as a favor to them. Clearly, they were annoyed at so many words. Bro, you belong. Just go over to Instagram. They don't worry. You don't have to read those. You just look. Or TikTok. You just scroll, flip, whatever. I don't get it. I really don't. If you think I'm full of shit, Go ahead. Tell me why. Somebody said, well, don't worry. It's only another 12 hours. Then they'll know the schedule. Relax. That's not the point. You missed the point. The point is, there's no reason they shouldn't have already cemented in winner of Houston, Pittsburgh goes to New England. Here's the time of the game. But they didn't. Why? Because they have a preference. They want to see. And once you have a preference, well, that's going to be like, oh, man, I hope this happens. And then their fingers are so deep into this already. It's amazing. I also got a bunch of tweets in response to my simple poll question. Let me get it up for you here. And that is, how would you describe the current state of NFL officiating with the myriad layers of rules, expedited review, challenges, virtual measurements, which are virtual bullshit, and then TV refs just guessing at the calls and oftentimes being dead wrong? My answers were, or choices of answers were, satisfying and accurate. Only 9.6% responded that with over 1,000 votes. Annoying and fishy was my second response. That got the most at 58%. And then number one bullshit was 32%. So I get, let's see the guy's name here because he banged me five or six times. UVA football fan. Hello, Wahoo. Zabe, I've been listening to you since the Fox Sports Radio days. You've consistently complained about NFL refs. Oh, have I? Or have I complained about the evil that is replay? This isn't a criticism of you as much as a question. What would you do for better officiating? I think your real problem is you have never officiated. I have for high school football. I've never officiated football. I know it's very difficult. I was a basketball official, VSHS, Virginia State High School referee. I did eighth grade girls games because that's the low rung on the totem pole and you got to stay in the organization, pay your dues every year, go through your rules trainings, kiss the asses of the supervisor in your district to rise through the ranks, spending nights and weekends and traveling. And I have total respect for everybody who is a referee. But that said, don't pull the you've never officiated before. And don't mistake my mere question of the state of the officiating for I think these officials, meaning the human beings, are shit. Actually, they're not. I am constantly stunned and impressed with how accurate the pair of human eyes on the field are at getting the calls right, especially when it comes to toe tapping and sideline possession and everything else. Stunned, I say. Now, not perfect. So I got no beef with the officials, Mr. UVA football fan. I do think the layers and layers of elements put on by the league makes it problematic. I think all the safety measures about the kind of hits that are deemed a penalty are ridiculous. The Niners got hit with one of the worst unnecessary roughness penalties as Jalen Hurts was scrambling for positive yardage, slides at the last microsecond, and two Niner linebackers converge on him, one of whom kind of glancing his shoulder or arm on his head, and because it makes a big loud clack, clack, you know, that pad and helmet hitting sound that's so fucking good to hear, by the way. Then the referees were like, oh, got to throw a flag. They do this because they get downgraded if they don't. And if they get downgraded enough, then they're going to start to worry about, God, you know what? I might not be officiating much longer. I've been the guy that has defended, UVA football fan on Twitter. I've defended keeping the guys we have who are insurance agents, lawyers, ski shop owners, golf pros, you name it, because they've got the most skin in the game. They've done this for years and years and years, all the way up through the ranks. You want to make them full-time employees, you got to pay them a shit ton of money. Hell, Ed Hockley was probably pulling down $400,000-$500,000 a year as the partner at his law firm. If you told him you got to choose one or the other, he might have, I mean, he retired now, but I'm just saying, there's nothing for these guys to do from February 1 until September 1. And don't say, well, you could be watching film. You could be like practicing. You could be going to training. They already do already. And that doesn't simulate a real game. It's going to make them what? At best, 0.01% better, per se? And why do you even need them to be that good since expedited review and challenges are mitigating the worst of the calls? One would argue if the league really wanted to save money, and this would be a collectively bargained thing because the referees have a union, you'd fire all the current refs and then replace them with much lower level refs that don't make nearly as much. Why do you need really good referees when you're going to review everything anyway with your cameras and your command center in New York? That is my official stance on the officiating in the NFL. Nothing about the officials themselves, but you can still vote if you find it on my Twitter page. Well, now you won't hear it by then. 4 hours left. It's a 24-hour poll and whatever. Just wanted to get the bead of where people are. I would say satisfying and accurate, not how the public is feeling right now about officiating in the NFL. Got an email from my guy Jason Janicek, JJ, from Southern Virginia. He's been on several Sunburn Bowls. He is the ambassador of Quan to me. The coolest, most easy-flowing dude ever. And he's a huge Bear fan. And he actually came on our getaway trip in the winter with a whole bunch of cheeseheads and was totally cool during the days in which, well, it was tough to be a Bear fan. He said he was disappointed that the podcast on Monday had scant little discussion about his beloved Bears. And I realized that, you know what? He's right. I didn't give him their due. Now, there was a lot of talk Monday about Ben Johnson and the fuck the Packers. And many people saying it's classless and out of bounds. I'm not pearl clutching, which I was accused of by an emailer here. Let's see. Harrison Hances. I said, Harrison writes to say, Zabe, football's a gladiator sport. Also, the media fans likes to say, Ben Johnson is classless. Let's just put on our big boy pants and stop pearl clutching for a brutal sport that takes a special kind of psycho to play or to coach. It was a thrilling game between two longtime rivals. Let's just take a breath and stop getting our panties in a bunch anytime a coach or player shows a pulse. Love the shows. Glad to have you back on the radio, Harrison. P.S. The crew of Nance and Romo are insufferable queens. Well, we have agreement on that. And I just replied, thanks, Harrison. What other NFL coaches do this? Like literally say, fuck the Packers or fuck your opponent. And according to Harrison, he said, Brian Billick, Bill Belichick, and Mike Vrabel. I don't know if I recall Belichick saying it that way in front of the cameras. Billick is a who cares. And Vrabel, I don't know about. Maybe. Okay, fine. If it was cool to you, enjoy. You won one fucking game and you got lucky yet again because the Packers handed you the game. That's all anyone is saying. Oh, all of a sudden you're like, fuck the Packers. Okay, congratulations. Let's keep it in perspective. But that said, I figured we'd hot call my guy, Scott Dolphin, and let him do his victory lap because poor Dolph took so much shit from me over the years, and I need to give him his victory lap on this Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon, I should say. Come on, Dolph, pick up. 4 p.m. I know you're not doing anything. In the dead of winter, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hey, man.
You son of a bitch. Can you hear this, by the way?
I hear it, and I'm loving it.
Get those knees in the air, Dolph. This is your ultimate victory lap.
Wow.
With a mic so fearlessly.
Never forget the way you thrilled the nation. With your T-formation.
Did the T-formation really thrill the nation, though? Let's be honest.
Oh.
Oh, it was the West Coast offense. It was the run and shoot. It was every fad football offense of its time.
What, are you the expert on the T formation now all of a sudden?
No, I just know that the Bears, you know, they were innovators, and they brought the T formation to football.
Well, look, this is what rivalries are made of. If the other team never, ever wins, it's not a rivalry. You got to have these to keep these things alive. And must have been quite a night for Bear fans there at Soldier Field. Would have been awful had I been able to round up the posse of knuckleheads I wanted to round up, because it was a cold-ass night, snowy night, and after a comeback and win like that, again, second one in, what, 5 weeks? Oh, shit. That walk through Memorial Park to get to wherever we were getting an Uber would have sucked.
The good news, Zabe, is you would have probably wanted to bolt with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter. So you would have missed all the bad parts.
So I'm going to let you in on a little inside group chat text thread baseball. The guy who had been predicting this all along was your boy and my boy, Big Mike, who has been super anti-LaFleur for a long time.
Oh.
In fact, after like the first touchdown by the Bears, he's like, LaFleur's going to get out-coached again. Watch Ben Johnson run circles around him. We're just like, bro, it's come on. But, you know, he's been hard down on this. So we get to the third quarter. It's 21-6. And I sent out the text to the group. I go, okay, predict what's going to happen. And I stupidly predicted. I'm like, all right, so the Bears will score. It'll be like 24-14. Be like 24-14, the score field goal, but then they're going to intercept Caleb, and that'll be it. And it's going to kind of routinely choke out the game. Boy, oh boy, what unfolded next was unbelievable. When did you, as a Bear fan, believe, oh, I think they're going to fuck it up again?
You know, it was. I think it was at 21-9. I turned to my kid. By the way, we went out to dinner because my wife got a new job, and so we were celebrating. So we ate an early dinner, and so we could all be home. So I was with my wife and my son and his wife and my daughter and her boyfriend. So
are they all Bear fans or Packers?
No, my son and my daughter are Bear fans. Oh. My son's wife is a huge Packers fan. And my daughter's boyfriend was born in California, so he's a Raiders fan. So he was just there to watch.
Poor bastard, Raiders fan.
I know.
So you raised your son and daughter to be Bear fans. Good for you. You raised them Chicago. Well,
yeah, they came around eventually. My son was a big Peyton Manning fan, so he was actually a Colts fan until he was 12 or 14 years old, to the point where we went down to Indy a couple times for a boys' weekend and had a good time down there. But he finally came around. He's a big Bears fan, and I was the negative Nelly in the room. I was just putting out the negative cloud for that first half and grumbling and barking it and saying, I can't believe the Bears were not prepared. How can you not be ready for a playoff game? But then the second half starts, and okay, a couple of stops, and then they kick a field goal. So I'm thinking at 21-9, I turned to my son Sam and said, if they get the ball back and score a touchdown and make it 21-16, I think they're going to win simply because of those last two matchups with Green Bay where they did kind of the same thing. It was a tale of two halves.
You mentioned Peyton Manning. I got this clip. It came up next on YouTube. Did you ever see from Omaha Productions, Peyton learns about Da Bears with George Wendt? And who's the other guy that does this skit? Da Bears.
Oh, that was Robert Smigel, a legendary Chicago comedian.
Was it Robert Smigel? Okay, here we go.
1920 actually predates our own measures of time.
They're right.
Namely, the birth of a certain Coach Dicka.
See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
All the turnovers.
I'd rather talk to him.
The NFL was actually founded 19 BD, before Dicka.
So I guess I know what you guys think is the greatest team ever.
Bears.
So, yeah, there you go. I also sent you a little NFL Films clip about that NFC title game against the Rams that ended in the light snow as you guys beat them, 24-0?
Oh, yeah.
24
with Wilbur Marshall.
Yeah, Wilbur Marshall, who would then go on to be a Redskin, one of the first free agents in Plan B free agency in the NFL. He picked up the fumble from, you remember the quarterback? Who got sacked on that play?
Was it Dieter Brock?
Dieter Brock. That's so funny. When I heard that name, I was like, oh, that's right. That dude was in the NFL. And the first thing I thought about was Dieter from that SNL skit, the German guys.
Oh, yes.
Hans and Dieter, I believe, were the guys.
Now we dance. So, yeah, welcome to Sprockets.
Dieter Brock just got crushed by that Bears defense. And, you know, because McMahon was not a great passer, he kind of went easy on them 24-0. Could have been a lot worse. I just remember as a teenager watching that game going, Jesus, got no shot against this Bears defense.
You know, it came up. It might have come up during the Amazon broadcast the other night where they talked about Eric Dickerson rushing for whatever, 200 yards the week before in their playoff win. And I think he got, what, 50 yards, something like that against the Bears. He didn't get much.
Yeah, it really did. And on that play, he got run over as Wilbur Marshall was headed to the end zone. The NFL films shots of Wilbur running with the light snow falling in super slow-mo. Just iconic stuff. But, yeah, I also noticed, I was like, damn, I got to ask Dolph this. Did the Bears' navy blue helmets and jerseys look a hell of a lot closer to black back in the day?
They did. I'm with you. In fact, I think as a little kid, I thought they were black because I had a, remember the Hutch uniforms you got out of the back of the Shirts catalog? I could have sworn mine was black. And I had a little wall hanging. It was probably a deep, dark navy and it just looked black. But I had a little wall hanging that also looked black with the white C. The Bears wore the white C until probably the early 70s. And I thought the same thing, Zabe. I always thought it was a black uniform. And then until I got older, but it's gotten a lot lighter blue in the recent years.
Google AI says, yes, many Bears fans and observers agree the navy blue color on the Bears uniforms appear lighter now than it did in previous decades. The shift is generally attributed to a combination of factors, manufacturing, material trends, television technology, and Nike-era changes starting in 2012.
Oh.
Nike fucked up the uniforms in 2012. Yep. Not good.
Yeah.
So that said, how do you feel you guys have a chance against the Rams?
Hey, man, for me, it's house money.
House
money. You and I talked about this at the beginning of the season. I thought they were going to be a playoff team, and then I thought they were absolutely not going to be a playoff team when they got blown out by Detroit to fall down 0-2. Mm-hmm. But you know, I said Saturday, as much as it would just pain my ass to lose to the Packers, because I know it's another year of living in Milwaukee and putting up with Packers fans. It was still house money. The Bears made the playoffs. They won the division when they certainly shouldn't have with those three other teams in that division. So I was totally fine with it. That being said, I think they can win this weekend against the Rams.
Especially, the Rams didn't exactly scare anybody against the Panthers.
No. Right, exactly. And what I saw, somebody told me today, the early forecast is 14 degrees at kickoff. What's old man Matthew Stafford going to feel like in 14 degrees?
Yeah, especially if that finger is not right either.
That's a good point.
A huge consideration right there. Well, what a night it was. Fuck you guys. Fuck your coach who likes to say fuck the Packers. I just talked about how, you know, someone was saying stop clutching your pearls. This is football. I'm not clutching my pearls. I think it's a weak look for your boy to kind of force it like this, because there's most other coaches don't say fuck the whoever's in front of cameras. But Ben Johnson's fully in on this.
He doubled down. Somebody asked him, what did McCaskey have to say about this? And he said, we're on the same page.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, I don't like that team, you know, and he made a big deal Saturday. You know, that we saw those comments from that team up north.
What comments were they making? Oh, by the way,
I think it was your defensive coordinator who said, we're going to win.
Oh, that's right.
We will be back. We are going to win.
So. Yeah, he said, Halfley said, yep, you'll see me again because we're going to be back.
That's what it was.
And it was his defense at the end that completely shit the bed, including Carrington Valentine, who got completely roasted, turned around on that winning touchdown pass to DJ Moore. So
yeah. Yeah, they've got some decisions to make there, but apparently head coach is not going to be one of them.
Yeah, well, I'm not happy about that, but I'm about to hang up on you and talk to the Packer knuckleheads, and we'll get our shit sorted out on our own end, okay?
All right, well, I'm going to the game this weekend. Think of me out there freezing cold, maybe seeing the Bears advance into the championship game.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with my boy, Russ Reiba, who's Bears season ticket holder, who invites me to a couple games each year. I was there for the Lions game, the last game of the season. I asked him if he really wanted to invite me because I'm 0-2. I was there opening night for Monday Night Football.
What is your lifetime record at Soldier Field?
Oh, God, I don't know. I would say I'm above 500 because I went to a lot of games in the 80s and early 90s. But I don't know. That's a good question. I can tell you this. I remember my first four games. Everybody remembers their first game. I was 10 years old. The Bears had four wins. The Giants had three wins. I was so excited walking into the stadium. It was the last game of the year, and I dropped a little scarf that I had, and the guy behind me said, "Hey, pick that up, and you're going to need it to cover your eyes when you go into the stadium." That's how bad the football was. But the Bears won that game.
An old timer told you you're gonna need that hat to cover your
you're gonna need that to cover your eyes by the end, but I didn't. I think it was Merrill Roeder kicked a field goal and the Bears beat the Giants in an icy snowstorm.
That is funny. Well, whatever your record is, don't forget to add the one loss with me and Rob McDonald and Timmy Gerds, my banger supplier. Even though we did leave while the Bears were winning. So maybe that counts as a tie because we dragged you out of there ale-theorying it beforehand and listened and watched the whole thing unravel in the car ride back.
And if you count the Green Bay games, I think I'm 0-3 or 0-4.
Yeah. Goodell apparently toured sites in Northwest Indiana today for the new stadium, including Hammond. You, as a guy who travels down to the lakefront, how depressing would it be to have to keep going? Keep going. That's another 45 minutes, I think, down to Indiana.
It is, unless you take, the Skyway would probably be the quickest way. And there they stick you like 12 or 13 bucks in tolls just to go from downtown into Northwest Indiana. And then you got the Indiana Tollway that fires up. No, not a big fan of the Gary Bears. I don't want to see that happening. I'd rather see Des Plaines. I mean, at least that's 50 minutes from my house here in the south side of Milwaukee. But no thank you to Northwest Indiana. The team sent out a thing, a flyer to season ticket holders today, a questionnaire to get their thoughts on that, like it's going to matter.
Like they listen to the fans. They're not going to listen to anything. They're going to listen to the tax breaks from the politicians wherever they decide to put it.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Illinois is going to say, we cannot let this happen.
When it comes to fucking things up. Don't put anything past the land of Lincoln, as it says on their license plates, okay?
Can you imagine, though, being the Bears? You dropped over $200 million on a piece of land, the Arlington Racetrack, and then if it doesn't happen, we're the Bears. It's not like we're going to have to mortgage our home.
What are you going
to
develop on those 200 acres? Dave and Buster's with a giant parking lot? Like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, world's biggest Dave and Buster's,
All right, Dahl, fuck you. I mean, congratulations, and miss talking every day.
Yeah, thanks for the message Saturday night. That was the first message I got. Congratulations, fucker. That was the first message
I
got from everybody.
I may be crude, but I'm not going to be a bitch that when somebody on a rival team wins a big game, I'm going to show. I'll show my face. I'll shake my hand.
And I appreciated that from you. You were the only one that actually, really? You know what? You weren't
Nobody
the only
else
one. You
reached
were the
first out?
One. You were the first one.
Did Armin reach out?
No.
Did
the first
Josh
I talked to Armin
out?
Was this morning. No.
Did Billy reach out? Josh. Did Luddy reach out?
I talked to
out?
Billy today. Armin and Billy both said congratulations, but they did not reach out via text.
Through pursed lips, I bet. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
they were dreading my segment on their show this morning. Believe me. Believe you me.
All right, Dolph. Good luck. I mean, lose by a million, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks,
Abe.
See ya. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools. tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
All right, the assembled Packer knuckleheads are here. Say hello to Eric Getter. Eric, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Brian Wolf, how are you?
We're here.
And Jason Autumn, the non, you know what ball, I can't say it on the podcast, the non-golfer in the group who demands now to be included in things, even though he doesn't golf on the regular. We're going to work on that. How are you, buddy?
Horrible.
Yes.
Wow.
You are horrible. Yes, your beloved football team was a loser last night, two nights ago.
No. It's because we got that skinny, metrosexual, stupid head coach still as part of our team.
Okay. All right. Let's not invoke any kind of sexual orientation here. All right.
I said metro.
Metrosexual. Yes, you did. Well, you're right. You clipped out. I didn't hear it. Did you guys hear that?
I definitely heard metro. Yes.
Okay, good. It must have been my internet. So as of this taping, at 6:50 p.m. on a Monday night, Eastern Standard Time, January 12th, Matt LaFleur is still the head coach of the Packers. Wolfie, are you surprised by this?
Not at all. I said this was going to be the case.
Because?
They don't make moves like this, and there isn't a better candidate out there right now.
Oh, you think this is a bad job? You think we'd behind the they'd be behind the Arizona Cardinals and the Raiders?
I don't think there's somebody better out there currently for the team going forward.
Really? I don't know about that, Getter. There's guys out there who are coaches who would do a decent enough job.
A couple Super Bowl winners sitting out there that have that on their resume that are. Well, you got that guy in Baltimore, no longer John Harbaugh.
Right.
You got the former coach
holding leads.
All right, and you got the former.
You got the former coach of the Pack sitting there, Coach McPositive.
No.
Bring back McPositive. You're leaving one other Super Bowl coach out there who would be gettable if you wanted to.
Are you talking about Gruden?
Yes, I'm talking about Gruden.
Why not?
Jason, you're in the camp of fire this guy.
Camp of the fire this guy, and I would love Harbaugh, and here's who I compare him to. Remember when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia choking all the time, and then he got out of there? Now, granted, he got to Casey, and I know he's got Kelsey and Mahomes, but I think he would bring an attitude. Our special teams wouldn't be stupid anymore. Keyshawn Nixon would be gone. We would be glorious.
Okay, one vote for Harbaugh. Wolfie's afraid we won't be able to fill the damn position. I'm very sad to see such a soft stance from you, Wolfie. I once thought you were one of the more rabid Packer fans that I knew. You're going to be happy with this guy for another 3 years at least?
I don't think that shaking up the entire program makes a whole ton of sense right now.
Shaking it up? We're just firing a guy who crumbles under pressure.
And you want to replace him with a guy who crumbles under pressure.
Well, that's the only problem with Harbaugh. I'm not a super fan of that. Getter, who would you want? By the way, my guy is Stefanski. I think Stefanski with a real quarterback like Love he would cook. He would be master chef back there. That's my guy right there. Stefanski made chicken salad out of chicken shit in Cleveland. You give him Love. I think the next coach, Getter, is going to take Love, and he's going to do things with him where we're going to say, oh, my God, why wasn't he doing that before?
Yeah, Harbaugh 293 and 180 as a coach. I'm sorry, 180 and 113, 293 games. 180, 113, 614.
Who Who do you, first of all, who do you want as the coach, and do you want fired?
You're
firmly in the fire him now category.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. And Wolfie, you're not there because you feel like they wouldn't get a better candidate, or it's shaking everything up.
If you're going to trade LaFleur, I'd be good with that.
Trade him. That's the funny thing. People are talking like, oh, he'll have several offers. And I'm like, good. Good. He's a coordinator. That's the thing, Jason. You and I see it. He's a coordinator. Damn good one. But those guys are all around. The head coaches have to win fucking games when they're sitting in your hand.
How many times in the past, let's just say 4 years, have they called a stupid timeout? They come out of that goddamn timeout, and then they have a delay game penalty. I know five of them, and I researched it via ChatGPT.
No way. Okay, so you've researched five times. They've that called a timeout to avoid a delay game. Low. And then gotten another delay. That seems low. So seriously, ChatGPT says this happened five times under LaFleur?
Yep, it was an amazing prompt that I had to dig a little bit to. But I said, out of the past 5 years and the situation, and I'll share the prop with you and I'll share the results, it's happened. So how many other coaches do that shit? Get rid of the bum.
Some do. Some more, do, but he's
more than you think
than others. Well, okay, more than you think. Here's the thing, Wolfie. I'm going to dig in on you for a second. Don't take it personally, all right? If you can't fire him after this, you can never fucking fire him. And he hasn't won anything. He has no big wins. And I'm not counting the one in Dallas. Dallas was a paper mache donkey when they met them. They had zero linebackers, okay? That's not a big win. Oh, it got our skirts blown up and we are super horny about it. But I'm talking about a holy shit, I can't believe that LaFleur won that game. Shanahan just put another one on his pile of wins where you go, fuck, I don't know how they won that game, but they did.
And they want to get rid of him.
Who? The Niners?
San Francisco.
No, yeah. They don't.
Those fans called for him all last year to get fired.
You're listening to the wrong fans. Okay, so you're admitting that LaFleur is unfireable in your mind. Because, it'll be too much of a headache to get a new guy and we'll shake things up. And
if McCarthy didn't get fired in 2014 after Seattle, I don't know what a fireable offense doesn't really exist anymore.
Okay, well, let me ask.
Organizationally, they made that up 12 years ago, and now that's the world we live in.
Getter, you remember me with Bob and Brian. I went on the warpath after that saying, you have got to change him out. Jason, you remember. You have got to change him out. This is one of those moments where you go, we can't have it. It's Ace Rothstein in his office telling the county commissioner, I'm sorry, I can't have your nephew part of the casino. He jeopardizes the entire operation. That's LaFleur, because he has the elegance of offensive design and everything else to get him up 21-3, but then he fucking chokes.
I mean, the direct comparison would be the first Bears loss when they fucked up the onside kick to compare it to McCarthy in 2014. And now Coach Matty Hairstyle just trumped it with this performance this past weekend.
Jason?
There's changes that are going to need to be made. They have to put in somebody to call plays. Rich B's going to be out of here. He'll be the one that does go. He'll be the one that goes of the group.
Okay. You know, here's the thing about Bisaccia. Yeah, they're going to get rid of Bisaccia. Barn door
maybe
closed. Well, hold on. Barn door closed. Horse? Oh, he's already half a county down the road. Just like with Mo Drayton after the double thump in the snow at Lambeau. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's not just that he is a shitty coordinator and the special teams have sucked. He has the title of assistant head coach, sort of like Dwight Schrute, assistant to the regional manager. And he's supposed to be advising LaFleur on timeout, no timeout, okay, clock management. Sucks at that as well. Like, literally, what do you do here? And he's one of the top paid guys in the league. But they're going to fire him when it's too late, just like they fired Mo Drayton after Talona Hufanga was in the end zone with a fucking punt from Corey Bohorquez. By the way, the punter is money. At least we can do that. It's all the problems the Packers may have. Whelan is a freaking rocket launcher. And I was trying to remember, Gitter, what was the punter who wore number 6, whose jersey you got stupidly at the Packers that year?
That was, JT something. I'll find it here.
Yeah.
You from have
Alabama. Scott?
Yeah, who? From Alabama.
J.K. Scott?
J.K. Scott, that's it, yeah.
J.K. Scott. I can't believe the Packer Pro Shop stocked, ready to go.
Had it, on the rack, no. Ready to go.
Hunter jerseys. Holy shit. Okay, well, I've exhausted my salvo of bullets on this, and it's sad that this organization is too rooted in Midwest nice and too worried about the Sledding Hill revenues and the Johnsonville Broadhouse revenues to make the move that has to be made. I don't give a shit that there's 8 openings right now. You would go to the top of the fucking list. Coaches will claw through each other to get to Jordan Love. They're not dumb. So, too bad. More LaFleur. If you like what he's giving you, Wolfie, you're going to get what he gives, which is more of nothing. Congratulations. You better be right on this, Wolfie. Otherwise, me and Gitter and Jason will never let you forget it. Okay? We will never. This is a moment of truth. You were called on a podcast to call for a coach to be fired, which is a rare thing. Few people do that. What's that? They do that all the time. They ask for the. Okay. Well, in this case, the moment is upon us. And it just has to happen. Okay. What pissed you guys off the most of all the shit that went down on Saturday night? Who wants to start? Just give me one thing that sent you into orbit.
So about 10:03 p.m. or whenever the game was over, my phone blew up with all the fibs that I used to work with in Illinois, doing the Nelson months, ha-ha. Doing, oh boy, your coach really sucks, and oh boy, Jordan Love sucks. I got no less than 12 texts between 10 and 10:30 p.m. And I just, like, what can you do? I mean, they came back, and they executed, and they won. And furthermore, I go into work today, and I work right on the border now, and all the fibs wearing their Bear jerseys, all wearing their hats and going, oh, this. I hate Illinois so much, it's not even funny. And I hate the fibs, and I hate all Bear fans. But I do like when that guy, when the coach, Ben Johnson, did that whole F the Packers, F this, F that. I like that, personally. I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're okay with it, Wolfie?
I'm all in on that. That's great. The rivalry is back on, right? It's full flame right now. It's great. It's better for football.
Okay. I thought it was weak by him, but whatever. If that's what he wants to be, they won one fucking game. His dipshit decisions of going for it 6 times on 4th down and going 2 for 6, giving it up at his own 33, were moronic and probably should have lost him the game.
Yeah, but it didn't, unfortunately.
I know it didn't. That's the problem. We let him off the fucking hood. Okay. You ask, what can you do about the former coworker fibs, Jason?
Yeah.
Surprised you, a man of any eye, wouldn't know this already. Here's what you do, okay? When you meet a coworker of yours roots for the team you hate, fine. At some point, just make a mental note. At some point, he's going to show you a picture of him and his wife on vacation. And you look at that on his phone and go, oh, that's really nice. You know what? I'd like to show my wife this to say we should go here to this resort. You then take the photo, you run it through chat or Grok, and then you give it the prompt from hell. Hey, Grok, make this woman naked on all fours with a dog collar. And then when they talk shit to you after a win, click send. And
God bless you.
Do you want this on Facebook, Instagram, or both?
Love it. Love it. Love it. Oh my God. Love it.
And because they're your former coworkers, they can't get you in trouble. They're former. But make sure they're former. Otherwise, there could be an HR meeting. Wolfie, what was the most incinerating furious making thing that you saw during the game? I can't even speak right now. What pissed you off the most?
Second drive, third quarter, third and two. Jordan Love throws the ball away with no one in front of him. He could have taken two steps, tripped over his own feet, and fell for a first down and kept the drive going. And instead, he threw the ball to Rich Bisaccia. It made no sense at all.
He does not run enough, correct?
Correct. That he has to add that piece to what he's going to do, add that to his weapons. It's the difference between him and Willis. It's what everybody loves about Willis. The problem is Willis is just not reading and then taking off when as soon as the first guy isn't open. So
right.
That doesn't quite fully work. But running and being able to is better than not running at all. And not running at all cost us that game.
So not just scrambling, you'd like to see some design runs as well?
There was a couple of option plays where if he pulls it, it's a first down, if not touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he might be a bit reticent to run because of the concussions, but.
Well, yeah. Slide after you get 4 yards. There's nothing wrong with 4 yards. Like it's right. Better than the incomplete pass for 0 yards.
Yeah. All right. Getter, what infuriated you the most on Saturday night?
Just continuing to give the ball to Jacobs in the second half. Whatever the Bears did at half, to make whatever adjustment they did, they shut him down in the second half. And well, they just kept going back and going back and going back. Instead of trying anybody else, Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson, right? They each had one carry each for the entire game. That's it. Josh Jacobs had 19. Come on.
Yeah. He had a ton of runs for 0 yards after the first, I think, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about Jacobs. He was great last year, great, but he got hurt this year, and he was not nearly as good down the stretch. And for the first half, because he had rested, I'm like, he's back. This is the Josh Jacobs who was really good. And then either the Bears made an adjustment, or he just lost that edge, whatever it was. My biggest frustration is their two replacement backs are kind of big, boxy, generic backs that have one cut moves and that's it. Where is our little screaming, you never heard of him from Illinois State, fucking whip-whap guy? Where is he? We have
we still got Marshawn Lloyd. We got the other guy, Marshawn Lloyd, that we're waiting to come back.
We're waiting for Marshawn Lloyd. Now 2 years of he's like Sasquatch. He's more rumor, more myth than actual person. Cut Marshawn Lloyd now, you're kidding yourself. He will never give you or anyone else nothing. He's made of tissue paper. Yes, Wolfie.
Our open field catch the ball back is in Minnesota wearing number 33.
Get me started. Miss Aaron Jones big time. But these running backs get to 30 and then they start running out of juice. To me, what infuriated me the most, I think the correct answer is the fucking business decision that Keyshawn Nixon made on the goal line, on DeAndre Swift. That was the biggest, most cowardly, pussy piece of shit I've ever seen. And I say that as a fat ass sitting on the couch who's never tackled anybody. I'm allowed to say it when you are a complete pussy. Sell out for your team. It's the playoffs. Yeah, he's probably already in the end zone by the time you react. But you know what? Who knows? Dive at him. Give him the peanut punch. The ball is right there. Get your fucking snout in there and take one for the team. Mister, I made the pick in the first Bear game, and remember how much he ran his mouth, Jason, afterwards? Saying, man, I make them plays. Yeah? How about this one here? I wish they had cut him by the time they got to the buses.
Him jumping up on a pile, all this talking, I'm done with that guy too. Get rid of LaFleur, get him rid of Nixon, put him on the same bus and get him out of Green Bay.
Attaboy.
They'll both be back. The interception that cost us 30 yards, what are we doing? And then celebrating. You're celebrating. You just cost us 30 yards. It's fourth down. Just drop the ball. Do you think maybe there was a reason it was thrown to you on the 10-yard line? You think maybe he was like, screw it. This will be just as good as a punt. And the idiot catches it? and then celebrates like he did something good. You just cost us 45 seconds, which would have been real great on the last drive of the first half. So we could have got McManus 10 yards closer so that at least he could have doinked it off the left pole instead of completely missing it.
Yeah. That was your boy.
I forgot about that. That made me mad.
Carrington Valentine was that guy. He was also the guy that bit on the touchdown that ended the game, essentially. It was a well-designed play based on bunch formation that they had shown earlier for a screen pass. And instead of a screen,
they showed it like three or four times.
Right. So they are baiting him, and then they got him. But he's a seventh rounder. And Keyshawn Nixon is a kick returner who played a little bit of slot, had some success, and then declared himself CB1 because the whole Jair thing collapsed. And these fucking idiots said, well, I guess you're our cornerback one. That's two subprime ideas at a very crucial position on the field. That hotel bill charge goes to Goody. Goody should have never allowed that to happen. Now, he also spent money on Nate Hobbs, who we got from the Raiders gift shop. He sucked and was hurt. So not a good year for Goody. Let me ask the guys who want LaFleur fired, would you keep Goody? Jason?
Yes, absolutely.
Hitter?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting dynamic to keep him and to get rid of LaFleur. So what if they lowball LaFleur and they're just kind of wanting him to not agree to an extension? Would you dare run him into the dead end of next year?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Make him earn it. Make him prove that he can make the right decision for once.
That's what I prefer, actually, is just letting the 1 year go and then seeing what the candidates are next year.
As Wolfie has said, he's on his seventh first year. Like, see if he can figure it out in his eighth year.
Yeah, Wolfie has the best line ever. I can't believe that you have this great line and yet you still don't want to fire him right now. Matt LaFleur is in his seventh consecutive first season of learning how to be a head coach.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. We have to graduate. You have to learn from your mistakes and graduate to year two, and he still hasn't done that. So we're just doing it over.
Isn't it great?
Eighth annual year coming up.
Eighth annual year. Print t-shirts for that. Eighth year of this dipshit learning how to win games or trying to win games.
That'd be great. Sell them on Zabe.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no money in shirts.
There is no money in shirts, but... Plus, you got to run all the sizes. Two X's are extra money, and nobody wants to pay for those. Four-color screen printing, you want it on two sides. That's an up and extra. Oh, it's a nightmare. Wolfie knows. Wolfie's been in them promotional streets.
Yeah.
It's still Christmas at Wolfie's house, which I want us to
see that. Yeah, it's nice.
When do you think the tree's coming down, bro? It's the 12th.
February.
Probably March.
You got no Packers games to watch anymore. You got time to take it down.
Yeah. It's depressing weather up here. If you take that tree down, it's just gray for like 3 months.
Yes,
that thing's staying up. It's joy to my day.
But then again, this is where you're from. This is where you choose to live, Wolfie. So lean into it, brother, or get away for somewhere warm. Last ad for you two guys. And Jason, you can just sit this one out, Mr. Golf Guy. Brooks Koepka, boom, back on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, hell yeah. Bruce.
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, who is the driving force on, like, the committee to review whether or not to let any of these assholes back that went and got the Saudi money, basically configured it so that only Koepka, DeChambeau, and Rahm would qualify.
And Cam Smith.
And Cam Smith, too.
For an immediate return, which means you have to have won a major since 2022. And then there's a $5 million fine to charity that Koepka is going to write. He's not eligible for the player impact program or popularity points bonuses, which could be
for 5 years,
could be $50 million of money he won't have. He can't get.
And he's not in the signature events this year.
And not in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He can be in them, but he doesn't get the bonus money for the FedEx playoffs.
Yep.
That's a shit ton of money getter. He must have fucking hated the shorts and boombox tour.
Yeah.
He did it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's potentially forfeiting $100 million by not by taking this deal?
Well, that's,
you know, they said 50 to 85 with the player fund, and then not getting the FedEx Cup money. Man, just imagine if he somehow would win the FedEx Cup this year. That's $20 million right there.
Fuck yeah!
And the $5 million to charity. That could be too.
What's that, Wolfie?
I said maybe he just hates being on a team. He seems like the kind of guy who, when he's golfing, doesn't really want to talk to anybody. Now he's got these three teammates running around. He's like, "Ah, screw this! I'm gonna go play for myself."
He totally is that guy. We used to joke, Gitter, about Koepka knocking over Spieth's bag on the range and bullying him like it's high school. What's up, loser? What's up, golf nerd? You know, I was a baseball player once. Yeah, I could have made the pros, but I hurt myself. Instead, I'm playing golf, kicking all you losers' asses. Yeah.
This game's easy, bro. Do you even lift?
So now the pressure is on Rahm, because Rahm is pluckable. DeChambeau is going to ask the Saudis for $500 million if he's got an ounce of brain cell in him. Maybe he'll get it, maybe not. What do you think Yasir Al-Rumayyan will do?
I think he lets Rahm go. I think DeChambeau is only signed through this year. Rahm, I think, is at least for two more years with Liv. So, I mean, DeChambeau is probably the more pluckable of the two in that regards. I like how it's conveniently they set that cutoff date at 2022 as well, because if they would have went back to 2021, good old Lefty would have been included in that group.
Yes, they would have. And Tiger was the guy that plays the 4D chess to know, how do I fuck Mickelson, the guy I hate the most?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the countdown is on. Get your Fireballs hats now, boys.
Yeah.
I've already got my Ironheads hat.
Oh,
Fireballs
hat. What am I going to do with my Smash hat? Because now Brooks is off of Liv. Damn it.
Exactly. All right, Jason, do you wish you were in Arizona with your boy right now or what?
God, yes. It would be great to be sitting outside watching the Rams kick the shit out of Chicago on Saturday. That would be awesome.
Don't visit him too much. You're gonna do something rash, like quit all your jobs in Wisconsin and just go live out in
a house.
Well, you know, until he can buy a house and convince his lovely wife to come with him, he's gonna live in a yurt out there in a teepee in some kind of Indian in the desert, living off saguaro cacti juice. So nice. All right, boys. May the season rest in piss. It was a season that had great promise. Some idiot I know on the radio thought they would go 9-0 out of the gates. Luckily, that asshole got fired. And
Like LaFleur should.
They also closed this whole station down at that. Well, most of the station. And then at 8-3 or 8-3-1, they were rolling up 23-10 on the Broncos. Micah Parsons blows out his knee. Christian Watson gets hurt, and it was straight downhill from there. All right.
There's no other way to say it. You described it perfectly right there.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, boys. Good to connect. Please stay on your phones until we're all uploaded so I can get the highest quality for all of your video feeds. Thank you.
And, hey, I wore this hat just for today, if you can read that.
It says?
Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, not if they keep Florida, ain't going to be all right.
Well, that's true.
That's right.
And you know what else is going to be the worst, Jason, is that you're going to have to listen to LaFleur sell the fan base on all the great, smart things they've done. Don't worry.
We're going to do better.
Yeah, something we've got to look at in the offseason. No, I got to be better.
He's going to sign an endorsement deal with some new hair product that he's probably going to push on us too. So,
okay. Boys, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Go Rams.
See ya.
All right, got some more stuff here for you today, and we'll see how that little four-way chat came across. It's very hard, I've found out, because of the delay, and Jason was in his car because he was about to go work out. It's hard for it to work as quick and as seamless as I would like it to, but I'm trying things. So bear with me, my faithful Zabecast listeners, I'm trying things, you know? And I a lot of things I try, I'm like, okay, that doesn't work. And that's an important thing to do. They say that iteration is the key to success. It is not singular willpower or force in trying to do one thing. It's being able to do things, fail, figure out what doesn't work, and then do it again differently. Iterate to a new and better thing. Those who can iterate the fastest get better, and that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, enough of my whining. LeBron James is going to have a special patch that he himself will wear on his jersey to celebrate his record-setting 23rd NBA season. It'll begin tonight in Sacramento, the city where he made his NBA debut in 2003. And yes, LeBron will wear that patch for the remainder of the season. I'll be willing to bet that he'll put that same patch on his pajamas at home, because that's who LeBron is. One day, NBA, you will have to do without LeBron, just so you know that. And for many of us, the day that we are post-LeBron in the association will be a good day, because a lot of us have had enough, to be honest. And I'm not a LeBron hater, but enough already. The Baltimore Orioles announced a promotion this coming season in which they will be giving out a bobblehead of Tupac Shakur. Huh? The global icon and rapper who was murdered in Vegas once lived in Baltimore from 1984 to 1988. He attended Baltimore School of the Arts, studying acting and poetry, a formative chapter that helped shape the artist he'd become. I'm looking at the bobblehead here. It's got his iconic black bandana. He's in an Orioles jersey. And I don't think I see any bullet holes in it. Oh, my God. What? I'm the bad guy. I didn't shoot him. I'm sad that he got shot. How can I be the bad guy on this? Time for a little ditty you might have remembered from back in the day. It's the first one officially we've had in a long time. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's back. Stat of the day. Let's go.
Of the day.
With the Rams facing the Bears in the divisional round, Sean McVay will be facing his 15th different team in 15 career playoff games. And I'd be willing to bet he can remember every play from every game. Behold your stat of the day! Remind me to feed Solly a quarter into his impression jukebox to do McVay remembering every drive from every different team he's faced in the playoffs. He has a better McVay than I would have thought. And who even knew that this was a thing, having a Sean McVay? Eagles, Niners, aftermath. There's a lot to go over. Somebody posted this video of the UK and Ireland's broadcast team that did the play-by-play for the Niner-Eagle game back home in the UK and Ireland. And it's pretty damn good. Will Gavin is your play-by-play man.
Sends Bourne in motion, stumps his foot, gets the ball, looks to his right-hand side, steps up in the pocket, throws left instead. Touchdown, Niners! Christian McCaffrey right on the G of the Eagles in the end zone. And in the fourth quarter, they retake the lead. San Francisco up 4, 23-19. And this battered, bruised, and banged up San Francisco team just won't take it lying down.
I love it. Not only was it a good, clean, crisp call, but it's got that beautiful UK/Irish tint to the voice. But I also love this. You can see, you can hear and feel the passion in his voice. I love it when the game we love as Americans gets picked up and loved the same by those not from here. I think it's a cool thing. If they put that button on my TV to say, which announcer do you want synced up to the plays to listen to? Oh, I would choose UK play-by-play guy over a lot of American TV play-by-play guys. You heard how Wolfie did not want to fire LaFleur because, well, who are you going to get? Here's a good tweet. Packer fans hate LaFleur. Most other fan bases want him. Raven fans hate Harbaugh. Most other fan bases want him. Dolphin fans hate McDaniel. Most other fan bases want him. Eagle fans hate Sirianni. Not a fucking soul wants him. That is, I think, true. And I think it's interesting. I believe that Sirianni, because he so embodies the pugnacious Philadelphia attitude of the Eagles. I don't know if he's portable anywhere else. I don't know if his act or if his own demeanor plays in another city. Interesting. Meanwhile, Anthony Gargano has a podcast, or this might be on, yeah, it's the Anthony Gargano Show. He's got Mike Garafolo on from NFL Network, and they get into the issue of, so you really want to fire a coach who won you the Super Bowl less than 12 months ago? Hold on a second. Let me get this out of here. My apologies. Delete group. No, I don't want to delete the group. I just want to stop that. Okay, here we go.
You're giving me a target.
Do you want him fired? This is my question. Do you want him fired?
I do. I want Kevin Stefanski in here.
I can't.
Well, good. Don't. I didn't ask for your opinion. You called me. I didn't ask for your opinion.
My opinion matters.
I don't think he's a smart football man. I don't. I don't think compared to me? Yeah. Compared
to. You want John Harbaugh?
Other NFL people that I know? No, okay. I don't.
You want John Harbaugh in here.
Okay. Did I just say Kevin Stefanski, or you did not hear me?
I love Kevin. I think Kevin's a great head coach. How many Super Bowls has Kevin been to?
Doesn't matter. He didn't have.
That's a bad bar. That's a bad metric. How many Super Bowls? Come on.
Howie Roseman as his GM and that roster. Stop with how many Super Bowls? So Doug Peterson's got more Super Bowls too. Was he a good coach?
And you guys ran him out and thought he sucked too.
Yeah, well, how'd he work out in Jacksonville? Then there's this. Eagle fans at indoor golf simulators, including one of them in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, the golf place, turned their screen projector to a photo of offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo so they could rip drivers at his stupid face.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Okay, that's a cute little viral thing, but okay, whatever. Just don't egg his house. College football, the portal is really, really good to some guys. And I think some of them are making huge mistakes. Ty Simpson, quarterback Alabama, has declared for the NFL draft. He is a okay prospect. He's not going to be a top five pick, not from the mocks I've seen. However, Ty Simpson could transfer and play somewhere else, and the offers for him are the offers for him are amazing. Miami, $6.5 million. Tennessee, $4 million. Ole Miss, $4 million. These are reported, not confirmed. I wouldn't be shocked if they're a tad bit low when it's all said and done. Dude, stay one more year. Collect that money. You're still going to be drafted about the same, probably no worse than you are this year. But that's for quarterbacks. The rest of the portal, it's a bucket of crabs, and many of them won't make it out alive. This tweet from Joshua Caraway, there's 10,200 football players in the portal. 10,200 documented. The portal closes in 4 days. Classes are starting at many schools, so you got to get enrolled so you can be eligible for next fall. Rosters are being finalized. Spring football is coming. The reality is, writes Joshua, many aren't making a team this spring and have a slim chance of being added in May, and many will be done with football entirely. Do you feel sorry? I do in a little bit, in some ways, because they are still kids. They're getting pulled at, lied to, poorly advised by some pretty shady people in their lives who are adults, and many of them are going to make a huge mistake. But I know, save your actual tears for kids with cancer and little puppies. Finally, there's this. The price for the championship game at Hard Rock is coming down. It's down to $747. Oh, for a ticket. That's not bad. That was like 4,000. Oh, no, that's for parking. Parking is going for $747 on the secondary market. That's the cheapest parking. If you want the good parking in the black south lot closest to the entry to the stadium, you can spend as much as, I can't believe this, $4,646 on a spot. There's a discount if you cross the street, though, using a walkway. So if you're more budget conscious. Okay, yeah. What's that, $100? $280. $280, and you're off-site across the highway or across whatever main street is outside a Hard Rock Stadium. Man, oh, man. It'll be the most expensive ticket, probably the most expensive non-Super Bowl ticket in the history of a North American sports. Unbelievable. All right, that's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening, making it to the end. Again, trying some things. We'll see how they work out. We'll keep on tweaking. Feedback always welcomed at zabe@yahoo.com. And of course, if you can rate and review, that helps tickle the algorithmic overlords and it helps the podcast immensely. Also, if you subscribe, I mean, look, I'm unemployed. I'm not exactly holding out a tin cup with pencils on in the corner of the street, but you know, every subscriber now can help me out. So if you want to give me a, you know, 6 months of ride until I get back on my feet, that'd be wonderful. Go to zabe.com/premium and subscribe today. The benefits you get for a mere $5 a month is that you get ad-free Monday through Thursday, and you get Fridays with me and Scott and Solly and doing You Are Looking Live for the rest of the football season. Then, of course, just us cutting it up like we do so well together for the rest of the year. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.